I believe that this is one of the Sundays that you look back on in a couple of years from now and say, you remember that one Sunday? Do you remember that one time? I think that for a number of reasons. One, because it is so clear that the Spirit of God is moving in this worship center this morning. And so I just want to say to you that if you sense that God is stirring in your life, or you sense that God is speaking to you this morning, I want to plead with you to not ignore that. There's places that we have designated here at Sagemont Church because we want you to have the space and the time to process what it is that God is doing in your life and speaking to you and working with you. And so if you sense that the Lord is moving in your life, maybe to be baptized, or maybe to, as I said, that baptism is a sign that somebody surrendered their life to Christ. Maybe this morning is the morning that you need to surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe you're a religious person. Maybe you believe in God. Maybe you believe in the existence of God. Maybe you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, but you've never surrendered your life to Him. And that needs to be what you would do today. I invite you to do that. I invite you to go to the Connection Center at the end of this service and just walk into the Connection Center and say, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Before we go this morning, I'm going to tell you how to find the Connection Center. It's super easy to find. You just go out one of these doors and turn left or right and you're there at the Connection Center. But I believe that this will be one of the Sundays that we will look back on and say, do you remember that Sunday? Now, if you've been keeping up with our social media, if you were here last week, you know that this is the moment that we unveil for you, that we illuminate how it is that God has been working and some huge doors that He has opened for us. And if you have your note sheet, you see that we're going to do a couple of things today. We're going to talk about those huge doors that have been opened. We're going to talk about some goals that we're setting for our 11:15 service. And then we're going to talk about how do we get there. In other words, we sense where it is that God is speaking for us to move towards, but how is it that we get there? We're going to talk about all of those things this morning. But I want to tell you that we're looking this morning in very broad strokes because there is so much to say about how God has been working over the past year and a half that we won't be able to give all of the details. But I want to share with you the amazing ways that God has been working so that we can all be aware together and we can all get ready to participate, but also so that we can just take a moment and say, thank you, God, that you're a living God. Thank you that you're working in our life. And so my hope is that what I'm going to share with you this morning kind of hits you in the heart, just like these baptisms hit you in the heart, where you look at this baptism and you say, God is still on His throne and God is still working. And that's what I want to happen this morning as I share with you the doors that the Lord has opened. So we want to talk first about this first door. And this first door is that for about 2 years, we have been praying about launching what I call recreational ministry. Now, we tried last week. We tried recreational ministry. We had a kickball tournament on the books and ready to go. And the Lord decided to water the earth. And that's fine. It's His call, right? He rained our kickball tournament out. But we are not deterred. We believe that God is opening the door for Sagemont Church to start a recreation ministry. And so that's what we're doing. Now, the question is why? Now, this is huge door number one. You may be writing this down and going, Zach, I was expecting something way bigger than this. I mean, you're talking about kickball on a Sunday morning sermon time. Listen, hear me out. Leanna and Lauren stood up here, and y'all did a great job, by the way. Good job on that, okay? Great job. And they were reading the scripture about being salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so this teaching today is the very practical outflow of how we do that. And so I knew this morning that I was going to have to answer the question why. Here's why I believe that growing our church through recreation ministry is so important. Because we desire to create a consistent and fun way for our families to introduce people to Sagemont Church. So let me give you an example. Hold on, I'll be right back. Give me 1 second, okay? Now, there are some people who would never sign up and come here to discuss a theological seminar on the Trinity. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't know anything about God. But you know what they like to do? They like to have fun. And even just bringing out a game, all of a sudden, like the whole thing has just changed in this room. Now, you're locked in, aren't you? You're wondering right now, is Zach going to throw those things? And you're wondering, if I do it, am I going to get in trouble for it? No, because our leadership will do anything it takes to reach people with the gospel of Christ. So look, here's the thing. There are some people, if you invited them to come with you next Sunday to the worship center, they would say, what? No, I'm not going to church with you. But if you say, hey, come on Friday because they have this really cool game. You know how fun that was? Do you know how fun it is to do fun things at church? I mean, of all the people in the world, we should be one with the monopoly on fun. I mean, we were just singing about being filled with life and having all of this joy. How awesome is it of an opportunity that we're going to have the chance to do that in a non-threatening way, introduce people to a fun place called Sagemont Church. So what we're going to do is to start a year-round intramural sport league. And we're going to be playing two different sports at the same time. Because on the one hand, you have these super athletic people. And you say we're going to have a church softball league and they're going to get ejected like four times before it's all over with, right? Because they're super intense people. And then we have people who just want to throw things at metal posts like me, right? And so throughout the year, we're going to have two types of sports going on at the same time. But listen to me. Here's the deal. We're not just trying to create fun. We're trying to reach people for Christ. So hear me when I give you this challenge. I'm challenging every person here to participate in the intramural league and to buy into our strategy of teams intentionally recruiting people that don't go to Sagemont Church. Can you think of somebody who recently was looking for a home church? Invite them to participate in intramurals. Can you think of somebody who you're friends with that enjoys some things that you enjoy, but not really open to the things of God? Invite that person to come play on your intramural team with you. Because we want to have fun, but we don't want fun to be the end. We don't want fun to be the absolute reason that we're doing the intramural league. We want fun to be the door that opens the path for us to interact with, become friends with, and lead more people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. So that's a huge door because we want to provide times and spaces for you to have fun with your friends who may be closed off to the things of God. Huge door number two. We are going to touch hurting families. And here's why. Because we believe the gospel. We believe that the gospel not only transforms our eternity, but we believe that the gospel transforms our here and now. And we have been asking God literally for 3 years about a specific way for our church to be able to step out of the doors of this church building and step into the darkness and to step into the hurting lives of people in Houston, Texas. So one of the reasons that we're doing what it is that I'm about to share with you is because we believe that the gospel changes the here and now, and we care about our city, and we are bold enough to go into Houston, Texas, where the darkness is, with the gospel of Christ. And so here's huge door number two. We have made a partnership with the Houston Police Department. And for every single murder that happens in Houston, Texas, we have partnered with them to go to the family of the murder victim and minister to them. And that's huge. It is a huge opportunity for us to take the gospel that we sing about and that we study about and to go into the brokenness of Houston, Texas, and to go with peace and to go with hope and to go to these homes and these families of people who just recently had a family member murdered and say, we love you and we have not forgotten about you and God has not forgotten about you. 2 weeks ago, we achieved that partnership. Wes Holloman and myself, we were sitting in the boardroom at HPD talking with victim services and some bosses in the Houston Police Department. And they just looked at us and said, we've never had a partnership like this before. And I said, trust me when I tell you, we are dead serious about caring for broken families. And so I want for us just to take a moment and thank the Houston Police Department for entrusting this kind of work to us and allowing us to have this type of partnership with them. So would you just thank them? Can we just say thanks? Some of them are here. There's a number of people here who work in the HPD, and we thank you for your work. And so that's huge door number two. What will we be doing? We will go to their home. We will take a type of care basket to their home. And we'll pray with them, and we'll love them, and we will offer additional resources for them as they grieve the death of a loved one. So on the one hand, we have an opportunity to be salt and light by creating an environment around Sagemont Church where we have this awesome opportunity to bring people who may not want to come to a worship service or come to a Bible study seminar, but they will come to some fun. So they're going to come and they're going to discover that we're kind of like normal people for the most part. And that they can come get in touch and enjoy the ministries and hopefully one day come into contact with the resurrected Savior. On the other hand, we're not going to just try to bring people to us. We're going to go to where they are. Because that was the methodology and the strategy of Jesus Christ himself. When he saw hurting people, he went to where they were. And he met them where they were. And he loved them as they were. And so we're going to do that. And the third huge door, before we start talking about some specific goals for the 11:15 service, the third huge door is what we call I Connect home groups. Now, you know the phrase I Connect. If you've been at Sagemont for any amount of time, you know what an I Connect Bible study is. It's the things that you probably were at 9:30 before you came here. This is our Bible study ministry at Sagemont Church. But the problem is that there's very little space left here on Sunday morning. There's very little ability for us to grow on Sunday mornings in our small groups. But another reason that we're getting ready to launch I Connect home groups is because people connect in someone's living room typically better than they connect in a classroom. And so you may be familiar with churches that do home groups. Some places call them cell groups. Some places call them life groups. Some places call them home groups. Well, we're calling ours the I Connect Home Group Ministry. What is it? An I Connect Home Group Ministry is designed to accomplish two things. First, to build deep friendships and relationships. The second is to make an impact in the world in which we live. And so these are designed to complement our I Connect Bible studies. They're not an alternative to. So the I Connect Bible study is designed to study in depth the Word of God. And I hope that if you are not plugged into one, that you will get plugged into one, because it is important for us to learn to study the Word of God and for us to do it together. So an I Connect Bible study is designed to study the Word. An I Connect home group is designed to put the Word into action. And so the design is to grow deep together in our relationships and to provide a place to serve and to make an impact. Now, here's the thing. Our goal is to launch these, to launch five of them by January. That's our goal. We want to launch one in the 77089 zip code. That's the zip code right here that our church is in. It's our goal to launch one in Pasadena. It's our goal to launch one in Pearland and in Friendswood and in League City. We want to launch the I Connect home groups by January. Now, I want to encourage you to take part in this and to participate in this, because not only is our recreation ministry designed to reach new people for Christ, and not only is our partnership with HPD designed to go to hurting people and to tell them that we love them, but our iConnect home groups are also designed to help you put into practice the passion that you have in your heart, which is to reach people. And so you're going to be doing that through your home group. So here's what I would like for you to do, not at this moment, but before you go. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to home groups in two ways. First, if you live in one of those areas, 77089, Pasadena, Pearland, Friendswood, or League City, and you would be open to hosting a group. I didn't say lead. I'm just saying if you would open your home and say, yes, my house can be one of the houses where these home groups exist, then there's a card in front of you. And before you leave, I'm going to ask you to put your name, your phone number, and somewhere on that card in big letters, I want you to write the word host, H-O-S-T. And put in offering boxes before you go, so that the leadership of the iConnect home groups can see who all is interested in hosting a group. Now, again, I want you to be clear. All you're agreeing to do is to allow Sagemont Church and the leadership to borrow your house. You can be there. So this doesn't make you a leader of the group. It doesn't make you a shepherd of the group. It's just you are agreeing to serve in that capacity. If you're interested in being a part of an iConnect home group, when we get ready to launch them so that we can communicate directly with you, I'm going to ask you to take the same card, write your name, your phone number, and your email, and instead of writing the word host, write the word attend. Okay? And also drop that in the box when you go today. So I want to spend some of the rest of our time talking about some of our goals. And if you have your note sheet, you see there that there's a goal written and it's just numbers and it may not make any sense to you, and that's perfectly fine, but the numbers are 1,500, 150, 15, and 5. And so we've spent a lot of time praying about how God would shape this service and what this service might look like in the future. And so I just want to share some of my heart. We're talking about being salt and light. We're asking, how do we practically apply the scriptures that were read this morning to be salt and light? And I believe that this is where God is leading the 1115 service. The number 1500, I'm asking all of us to do whatever it takes in the next 6 months so that 1500 is the average number of worshipers here at 1115. So we go anywhere from 800 on Labor Day weekend Sundays. All right, last week when it was raining and it was Labor Day weekend, we had about 800 here. We've been all the way up to 1,200. And our average is somewhere around 1,000. So today what I am sharing with you is that I want all of us to agree that this service is going to grow. This ministry is powerful. We have 8 people get baptized. Amazing worship. Mediocre preaching, you know, I mean, it's a good ministry when you look at it in total. God bless you, brother. I appreciate that. But here's the thing. Ministers don't grow ministries. People who are touched by ministries grow ministries. And so today I'm putting before you a challenge, a goal. Let's raise the average number of people who worship here from 1,000 to 1,500. But let's move on beyond attendance goals and let's talk about the number 150. Our goal in the next 6 months is to get 150 people to move from being an attender to being plugged into a small group. Now, that may mean the iConnect Bible study, or that may mean an iConnect home group, or it could mean some other type of growth plan. But what we want to see is not just for the number of people sitting here worshiping with us increase, but we want to see them get plugged in. We want to see them really begin to grow and their spiritual life to develop. We want to see God change their life, and we know that that happens in small groups. And so our prayer is to grow this ministry to 1,500, but our prayer is that for 150 new people to get plugged into either Bible study or home groups. Now, the 15 is a number that relates to people feeling called to ministry. The number 15 represents people that have been called by God to be in ministry, who get plugged into a training in which they learn how to minister, and they actually begin serving in ministry. Now, this is an interesting number that I'm sharing with you, because the very next day after we arrived at this number, and I wrote it down on the pad where I make sermon notes, the very next day my phone rings and somebody says, "You know, Zach, I've been called to ministry for a long time and I've never gotten plugged in. Would you teach me how to do ministry and give me a ministry to do? And I promise you, I will do my best." What a confirmation. You know, here's what we do. Oftentimes we talk about salvation and we talk about needing for you to surrender your life to Christ, and rightfully so, because that's the most important first step that you'll ever make in your life, is to surrender your life to Christ. And then we're asking you to move from salvation to the baptistry, because scripturally speaking, the very first step of obedience is to be baptized. But sometimes I'm guilty of this, we stop talking about God's work in your life after that. Almost like either God is bringing you into salvation or telling you to get baptized, and after that, he's kind of like silent. I don't believe that that's the case. I believe that the next generation of leadership at Sagemont Church is sitting in this worship center. And I believe was sitting in the 9:30, at the 9:30 hour. And so I believe that God is calling and has called people to ministry. And so over the next 6 months, our goal is to cry out to God and say, "Lord, show us 15 new people that you have called to ministry. And let's train them and get them plugged in." The last number is 5. And I feel so small saying what this goal is for. I feel like I'm getting up here and lacking a little faith. But I want for us to begin to pray and to say, "Lord, would you let us see 5 spiritual decisions every time we gather at 11:15. Now, should we pray for 10? Should we pray for 20? Of course. But can we just set a minimum number? Oh, Lord, by your great mercy and by your power, can we see 5 people saved, surrender to be baptized, surrender to ministry? Whatever it is, oh God, we just want to see 5 spiritual decisions every single week. 5 people get involved in a growth plan. 5 people repent from their sin and come back to faith in Christ." So I have 3 minutes left to fill in 4 blanks. And I want to share with you, instead of sharing 2, 3, and 4, I want to share with you the first one. And I'll share the other 3 next week. But the first one is this. How do we get there? Prayer. God has convinced me of many things in my life. And recently, one of the things that he convinced me of is that there is absolutely not a single solitary substitution for a praying church. It doesn't exist. Social media accounts can't make up for prayer. Eloquent preachers can't make up for prayer. Amazing music can't make up for prayer. And so I'm calling on us not only to reach out and invite people, but to become people of prayer. And here's how I want for us to do that. I'm looking for 140 people who will give me 1 hour a week to get on their face before God and seek his favor. Because if we can find 140 people, that means that we can have an ongoing prayer ministry 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I believe that that is what God wants for our ministry. Now you say, well, what 4 hours are we leaving out? Well, from midnight to four. I figure those would be the most difficult ones to slots to fill. But I'm asking for you to take part in that. And if you would be willing to come up here and to pray for 1 hour a week, one day a week, I'm going to ask you to communicate with me, and then we're going to close our time with prayer. But if you would be willing to be a part of our prayer team, will you just intercede for 1 hour a week so that our ministry is covered 20 hours a day, 7 days a week? I'm going to ask you to take a card, write your name, your email, and your phone number, and on it, instead of writing host or attender, I want you to write prayer so that I can follow up with you and so that we can put together a schedule where we're going to cover this place in prayer. I believe this: if God's people will humble themselves and pray and will rely on the movement of the Holy Spirit, there is literally no way to know what God might do with our ministry. You can take whatever it is that you think is a thriving, amazing, powerful ministry, and I can tell you this: you show me a group of people who pray, and they can blow that out of the water. So I'm going to ask for us to close tonight, this morning, not tonight, but this morning, by standing to your feet and just having a moment where you consider everything that's been said. And if you would take a posture of prayer, just where you're standing, just an attitude of prayer, I'm going to begin reading back through the things that I've shared with you today, just to listen, not just only with your ears, but with the ears of your heart. This is impossible for us to do unless we do it together. And if you're standing here this morning, we need you to help us achieve the vision that God is setting before us today. So if you would just begin to pray and seek the Lord about your involvement, I'm going to read through this, and then I'm going to give us a moment just to spend some time in prayer. I'll close us, and then we'll close with our blessing. The first thing that we talked about this morning was a recreation ministry where we all work together to create an environment where people who are not followers of Christ feel welcome to come. And so the challenge is to not only participate, but to find people who are not connected to a body of Christ and to bring them. The second door that the Lord has opened is a partnership with our police department here in Houston, in which we go to families of murder victims and we love them well, and we offer them follow-up resources, and we care for them in one of the most broken and dark moments of their life. The third open door is the iConnect home groups. That's designed for us to grow deeper in our relationships with one another and to make a difference in the world around us. And the goals that we set before us today is the goal of growing to 1,500 as an average in the next 6 months. Also in the next 6 months, to see 150 new people connect to small groups. Also in the next 6 months, to identify 15 people that the Lord has called to ministry. And then on a weekly basis for 5 people to make spiritual decisions. So I just want to give you a second to think about that, and to think about the ways that we get there. I didn't share with you the other three, but the first is through prayer and assembling a 140-person prayer team that intercedes 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, pleading with God to pour out a revival, not only on this service, but on the one before it. And And I want you to just think for a moment about the scale of what we're talking about. And in this very moment, just between you and God, I'm asking you to say a bold statement. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Send me. Work through me. Before we pray and close, I want to remind you that if you've never asked the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you need to do that this morning. All of this is exciting and amazing to see God do among us. But my friend, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you are in eternal danger. So I want to ask you once again to just consider going into the Connection Center and saying, I need somebody to pray with me. I need somebody to talk with me because I need to ask the Lord for forgiveness from my sins this morning. And I need to surrender my life to Him. Lord, as we close our time today, we're so grateful that Your hand is upon us. We're so thankful that You challenge us to step out of what is comfortable and to walk and to run with great passion and great focus for Your kingdom to come. For Your ministry to flood Houston, Texas, and for it to happen through us. We are done praying, Lord, that You will send somebody. We know that You've sent us. And we acknowledge that. We embrace it, Lord. And we say, Lord, we are willing to be used for eternal purposes. Thank You for the tender way that You speak to us in serious moments. Thank You this morning for the way that You've spoken to the brokenhearted. Thank You for the way this morning that You've challenged the proud. And we just go with a sense of awe, Lord. I don't know where You're going to take this, Jesus, but I just trust You. We trust You, Lord, as a church family. We trust You. We're grateful for what You've done among us. We thank You for the baptisms that You have shown us today. We pray for so many more. We thank You for the ministry that You have allowed for us to see. We're excited to see what it is that You're going to do among us. And we pray all of this in the mighty and powerful holy name of Jesus. Amen.